Let us. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit is with us. We desire to experience you, no matter brothers and sisters who are worship you online or here. Help us to see your glory and help us to walk together in this heavenly road, on this heavenly road. We need to help one another. So one day we will meet you again. When we were still on the earth, help us with your word and bless our message today. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. When Pastor Fawn asked me to give a sermon today, because it's a hard time for us to find the guest speaker at this time. When he asked me to give a sermon, I think of the topic that I will share. Think about what have you done over the past year or so during the pandemic. Have you experienced God's presence? The world never makes you feel at peace. The world is ever changing. So we have to experience God all the time. Some people say that the pandemic has made the crazy world pause and calm down. What do you think? As we all know that when we use our cell phone, when we are pretty familiar with the pause button. The pandemic make all of us to rest, to pause. When Pastor asked me, will we have a summer retreat again? Gather together to learn God's word together. I told Pastor Fong that it's just the pandemic just made the world pause, not stop. And I'd like to share this table with all of you. It is based on a sermon by Pastor Zhang of Singapore. It's about the pandemic, and there people will be divided into three groups. The first group is a group who fall in panic. They stock up on excess supplies, spread scary rumors on the internet. As we all know that the news media always want to create news of scary things. The typical symptoms of those people are complaining, worry, insomnia, irritability, negativity. And the second group are people who want to learn from the pandemic. They give up what you can't control. Do not easily listen to news or rumors. Control emotions. Realize that everyone is doing their best. But as Christians, we should be in the third group. Learn what you haven't had time to learn before. Be mindful of helping others. Live in the present and focus on the future. And our church did a great job, as we have the medical team who help us to know how to deal with the pandemic. And there are also brothers and sisters who help the older brothers and sisters to buy groceries. Don't spend your time just spreading all the rumors. And during this time, which group do you belong to? Panic, study, or growth? The keys to the growth of a Christian's life are God's word and experiencing God. When I was young, I assisted Pastor Zhang Naiqian to make some Bible textbooks. So I attended many different Christian churches. Some are spiritual, some are conservative. Some value experience. Some value biblical words. The best of all both. The most important is that we cannot live without God's word. Before the internet, we had to depend on seminaries, churches, and pastors to learn more about Bible. With the internet, you can learn whatever you want to learn. As long as you set your mind to it. But the best way to learn, of course, is to ask and answer questions face to face with the guidance of the right and spiritual teacher. The most important thing is that you need to ask questions and try to answer the questions. Of course, the guidance of the right spiritual teacher is very important. When we talk about experience, you may have heard many miracles or moving testimonies. And some testimonies you may never expect to experience. As you know, different people have different feelings upon the same thing. So experiencing God is not something you can learn from others. Only those who have personally experienced God's grace will bear a living witness and have a constant motivation to serve. Some people say that if a person is touched by God, it can be called rebirth. But experiencing God cannot go without God's word. I had been a church before. I remember that they pray from 5 a.m. to 6 p.m. When they worship the Lord, they will give testimonies one by one for several hours. I mean, there are different forms of worship in different churches. That, like in North America, we are equipped with God's word, but it seems that we have little experience about experiencing God. Christians in North America need to experience God more. I'll give you a good example. A gospel singer, Billy Bellinger. He was sentenced to 6 years in prison for violence, theft, and drug abuse as a young man. He did some crazy things when he was young. But during the time he was in the prison, he repented. Then he was miraculously paroled early. And later, he got out. When he got out, he formed a band to testify to the gospel mission. For more than 20 years, he has traveled the world to American and Canadian high schools, influencing nearly 500,000 young people. He always shared his experience in prison. Use his singing gift to serve the Lord. He's very gifted. And he always like use a music sermon to spread the gospel to the young people. So all his life he shared his experience with God. So back to our scripture today. It is from Romans chapter 12, verse 12. It's very easy to remember this verse. Be joyful in hope, patient in trouble, and persistent in prayer. So we need to remember the three key verses: hope, trouble, and prayer. We know that the book of Romans is mainly for the Christians at that time. It is the book was written around 50 years after Christ. And at that time, there, the first Christians were persecuted. Their situation is not like us. If you know some history at that time, the emperor that at that time, has a lot of earthly knowledge. And they even think, but the knowledge is kind of strange. They think that even killing is a kind of art. That's very terrible. Here, what does hope or expectation mean? Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance that what we hope for will come about, and the certainty that what we cannot see exists. This hope in the Bible is a certainty about the future, and it's capable of shaping our life. In other words, because you know for sure what will happen in the future, your life now is completely changed. This is biblical hope. It means that although something in the future hasn't happened yet, you're certain about it, and it will have a major impact on your life right now. It's like someone desperately trying to get a degree because they believe it. They believe it will give them the job and status they deserve. Here, it also means that Christians who were had no hope or did not live in hope or did not live joyfully in hope. So I don't have to give you too many examples. Let us take a look at the Bible verses which describe the hopeless. First Thessalonians chapter 4:13 says, but we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve like other people who have no hope. And Isaiah chapter 59, verse 11, talks about those who have no hope and says, we will grow tired of like bears. We sigh mournfully like doves. We look for justice, but there's none, and for deliverance, but it's far from us. The hopes of men fail. 9 out of 10 things go wrong in life. As Christians, we are not pursuing the earthly things. And Jeremiah chapter 5:15 says, we waited for peace, but no good has come, for a time of healing, but instead there was terror. We all long for peace. I still remember when I lived in Taiwan, people always like to paste the safe up and down couplets on stairs, safe in and out on doors, and safe for all on living rooms or bedrooms. Despite all this, there is still no safety or peace. As Christians, we do not believe in those things people make. You don't put your hope on the earth, and don't try to expect that people, governments, doctrines, education, and so on will gradually lead us to peace. True peace is God's reward. We need to focus on what God says in the Bible. The Bible only teaches us to love God and love others. As Christians are only blessed sinners who have their sins forgiven by Christ Jesus. Through repentance and serve the Lord and the church with a grateful heart. I also like to give you an example. When I worked in downtown, some people was handicapped. When they are they were in my restaurant for a period out. When you try to help them, sometimes they were not happy with that. They want to do the things themselves. Don't expect a Superman to call out from high and the whole world will be at peace, actually. Now we'll look at some Bible verses about the hopeful. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18, remind us that always be joyful. Continue with the prayerful. In everything be thankful, because this is God's will for you in the Messiah Jesus. In describing the circumstances in which the first of believers were persecuted, Acts chapter 2, verse 46 and 47 says, united in purpose, they went to the temple every day, ate at each other's home, and shared their food with glad and humble hearts. They were praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. Every day, the Lord was adding to their number those who were being saved. Always be joyful. This is God's will, or we can say commands for us in the Messiah Jesus. So daily joy in the Lord is an indispensable witness to the Christian life. Most of the time, we lose joy because we lose hope. As the pandemic is still going on, we need to get used to the current situation. Ever since we have been reborn and saved, there's a living hope for us, which is heavenly, not earthly, but if we put our hope, the circumstances of the earth are ever-changing, and nothing remains the same. The Bible also provides us with a free magic cure, which is a joyful heart. And Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22 says, A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit drains one's strength. And you need to practice being joyful. We'll continue with the keyword trouble. Be patient in trouble. Just as it is said in Romans chapter 5, verse 3 through 5. Not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Now, this hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. Let's take a look at the examples of suffering in the Bible. We still remember the story of Joseph. When Joseph was young, he was sold into slavery in Egypt, and he waited patiently for God's deliverance until God's time came when he was made governor of Egypt. The second example is Moses. When Moses was young, he grew up in a palace, and he received a very good education. But later, he killed an Egyptian for his fellow Israelites. Then he ran into wilderness. He had been waiting in the wilderness for 40 years of hardship before God appeared to him. And he had nothing to do in the wilderness. The only work he did is to shepherding the sheep. And later when he was confronting Pharaoh, he had no fear. And eventually, God sent him to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. And the next example is David. David continued to endure the persecutions of King Saul after he was anointed king. And he did not become king of Israel until the time appointed by God. And the last one is Jesus Christ. In order to do God's will, Jesus endured 30 years of living in the humble city of Nazareth, and later even crucifixion. So we have to remember the four examples in the Bible. Especially as Christians in North America, like every time when I open the news, and And I remember that at that time when I was in the ESL school, our teacher is a Israelite. And he's talking about who is American, and now it's us, everyone who lives in North America. We actually do not know what is good when we are in it. Most of our lives are in happiness. The things that can be called suffering are always what we heard from others, and or spread by news media, rumors, or something scary in WeChat. So when we are living in happiness, it's hard for us to talk about suffering. Your attitude is very important, actually. If you ever listen to the stories of the veterans of the 1950s, you know a lot stories about the war. And I remember that they always cried while they were telling all those stories. And they suffered a lot at that time. So it seems we have no right to talk about suffering because we are living in an age of peace. And if you look at the books of Joshua and Kings in the Bible, you'll find that there were a lot more tribulations in the past than there are now in our generation. Do you still remember the three groups of people during the pandemic? You need to choose which group you want to be. So I like to repeat the Bible verses from Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. It tells us not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. We need to remember these verses, Bible verses. And the third is, be persistent in prayer. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19 and 20 says, "Furthermore, I tell all of you with certainty that if two of you agree on earth about anything you request, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. Because where two or three have come together in my name, I am there among them." When we talk about prayer, we need to learn from Daniel. When the prophet Daniel faced a crisis, the book of Daniel, chapter 6, verse 10 says, "Three times a day he would kneel down, pray, and give thanks to his God, just as he had previously done." At that time, the king Darius ordered a decree for all people to worship him. But when Daniel received this order from the king, He continued to do what he really do every day. When he was cast into the lion's pit for his faith, because he trusted God wholeheartedly, in the end, he remained unharmed and turned King Darius back to God. And in Daniel chapter 6, verse 23, the king was ecstatic, so he gave order for Daniel to be released from the pit. Daniel was taken up from the pit, and no injury was found to have been inflicted on him, because he had believed in his God. Prayer itself is neither good nor bad, so long as it is not cursed or with wrong motives. When we pray, the Holy Spirit help us in our prayer, even if you don't know what to pray. So when you are praying, you need to remember that scripture reading, prayer, and meditation are three things that go together. When I was young, I was taught that I was taught about the three things: scripture reading, prayer, and meditation. You should have spiritual partners preactively pray at all times, attend prayer meetings, and pray for people and things you dislike. We need to pray for the for those who sin against you. And don't hold a grudge in your heart all the time. You can pray for them. And our pastor put great emphasis on prayer. And at last, I would like to review with you together how I have experienced God while serving Him. Some of you may have known a lot about my previous experience. After I sold my restaurant in 2014, my wife and I were actually considered going back to Taiwan at that time. But at the summer retreat of that year, I don't even remember who gave the sermon, but I only remember the calling, "Do you love me?" Jesus asked Peter three times. And Peter is a very Austrian person. I really like Peter in the Bible. When Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" I think when Jesus asked Peter the third time, Peter might really feel troubled. I don't know why. I remember the calling, "Do you love me?" all the time after the summer retreat. And at that time, there are a lot of caring needs for our sisters and brothers in the church, and some lived in Yitang. Because of the calling, "Do you love me?" constantly repeated in my mind, I think I can stay and serve in our church. So I continued in the job for about 2 years. In 2015, 2 years later, when we successfully hired our pastor, Fong, I was supposed to stop. But the administrative assistant of our church left. Pastor Fong asked me to help him at that time. So again, I need to stay. As you all know that our pastor will always know, will always have plans for the future, and every day I will receive new tasks from him. During the pandemic, more serving opportunities presented themselves. So I continued with the serving opportunities. I seized all that serving opportunities, like such as cleaning up the church building, equipment upgrade, joyful station, video clips, and so on. But at that time, I still thought that after the pandemic, I would be able to left. But as the pandemic continued, I'm getting busy and busy, and there are so much work. And our pastor is always busy with all the issues in our church. And Pastor Fong started Joyful Station. And I try to help him to do the Joyful Station video. So I worked with Pastor Fong to try to spread the gospel in a new way. You never know who will be helped by those message. And Pastor Brown is so happy that so many people like his Joyful Station. So we really enjoyed the process of making the Joyful Station work. Though it doesn't go like what I expected, what I planned, but we really, like, really enjoyed the experience. I experienced God leading me on the way ahead during the process of serving Him. And I'm really touched by the brothers and sisters who have left our church. They still support our church by different kind of ways. Today, the reason why I'd like to share my experience with all of you is that we always need to choose between what you want to do and what God wants you to do. But you need to obey God's will. To truly experience God begins with obedience. So we really need to learn the lesson to obey God. Don't expect that the whole world will be at peace tomorrow morning after you wake up. There's one thing I'd like to share with you that our pastor put great emphasis on prayer each time when he was making the joyful station. Always remember that when you are praying, you need to know what is God's will. When you attend our prayer meeting, you are just one of the whole family, and to try to support all the family members by prayer. And we need to attend church activities, spend time with our brothers and sisters. Until you see the glory of God, you will serve Him with grateful hearts. While I was planning for my future, a long time has passed. And I did a lot of things I never planned before. And I think it's really God's blessing. As long as you are willing to serve the Lord, and serve the Lord with brothers and sisters, you will be blessed. And we really enjoy the whole process. When we are in the church family, you should do your best to serve the Lord with your gift, no matter what it is. Though my English is so poor, I still try to serve the Lord by what I can. Our hope should never be put on the earth. We need to put our hope in heaven. It seems that the pandemic will not stop anytime soon. Even if things are getting better, our living environment will not return to its previous pattern. But we always have new opportunities and new ways to spread the gospel. And I remember that Pastor Zhang Naiqian shared something in his sermon. During the pandemic, as people cannot go everywhere in the world, there are a lot of audience for his online sermon. Every time when he gave a sermon through the internet, there are around 200 to 250 people watching the video. God through serving Him. And if you never experience conflict with brothers and sisters, you never know how to experience God. I remember that Pastor Tang Chongrong said before, if you don't receive a salary from the church, if you serve without a salary from the church, it's still isn't real service yet. Because if you don't receive a salary, you can left any time. You can leave the service any time. So you have to find the opportunity to experience God. I believe that you still have a lot of time to reflect on and experience God, as you don't have to you don't have business trip right now. After you experience God yourself, you will really understand other people's testimonies. I remember that we have when we try to comfort some of our elder brothers and sisters, we are always comforted by them. A person who has hope is actually living in hope. We need to serve the Lord with a willing heart and a grateful heart. Because when you serve the Lord wholeheartedly, you don't care too much what others say. So the last step I'd like to share with you a Bible verse. So you will draw water joyfully from the wells of salvation. I want to use this Bible verse to encourage all of us. You will draw water joyfully from the well of salvation. We need to encourage one another and learn God's word and experience God together. Let's pray together. The book of Job, chapter 11, verse 13 through 19. Zophar answered Job and said, "Now for you, if you will prepare your hearts, spread out your hands to him. If you have any iniquity, throw it far away. Don't let evil live in your residence. Then your confidence will be flawless and your security will keep you from terror. You forget your suffering. You remember it like water that has evaporated. You'll be secure because there's hope. You see that you are at rest and safe. When you sleep, there will be nothing to fear, and many will court your favor. May the Lord help us to reflect on our relationship with the Lord. May our church be filled with joyfulness, be filled with joy. May all of us experience your peace and every one of us will be willing to help one another and help us to remember your word and live out your word. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.下面本来是我们奉献的时间，但在这之前，我想要先花点时间来介绍我们今天新来的朋友。请把话筒递给朱王的家庭，谢谢。 下面请接Annie来介绍他。 般是传递奉献带，但是因为疫情的原因，我们现在不这样做。在教，在我们这个大堂的后面有一个奉献箱，您可以使用。另外，如果您是在家里上网上敬拜的话，你也可以看我们的这个周报后面的那个 PO box， 用这个来把支票寄到教会。我们今天奉献的经文是《哥林多后书》8:12。因为人若有愿做的心，必蒙悦纳，乃是照他所有的，并不是照他所无的。请我们为我们的奉献祷告。天父，请使用我们的奉献和我们一切所有的，帮助我们无论是在奉献上还是在生活中，都能够做慷慨的给予者，好叫我们能够使这个世界有所不同。我们每天都经历着你的祝福，而且你的祝福总是白白的加给我们，并满了那极致的爱。愿我们足够爱你，好将本已属于你的奉献给你。我们谢谢你，满有恩典的神。所以没有任何的犹豫，我们喜乐的将属于你的献给你。奉耶稣基督的名祷告。Let us all stand up. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. That we may come together to worship you. May the Lord bless us that every day we will speak to you. And you will answer us.Help us to have a close relationship with the Lord and walk with you. May the Lord be with us all.